This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With seven drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. And epic journeys is what we're all about. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Welcome to Armchair Explorer On Location. Travel and adventure stories recorded in the field in the most immersive way possible, designed to give you a glimpse of what it feels like to be there for real. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey guys, I hope you're feeling summery. Spring is in the air here in Colorado. I'm feeling summery. I'm dreaming about the ocean. I love living in the mountains, but I grew up next to the ocean, and that is also where my heart is. And that is also exactly where we're going today. So I'm going to share two episodes from our Florida Keys Traveler series. We actually did 30 episodes about the Keys on this series. Each one's only about 10 minutes long. It's a single scene like kayaking or meeting someone amazing or making key lime pie, whatever. And the first episode I'm going to share today is one of my favorites from the whole series. It's about dolphins. It's fascinating. They are amazing animals. And if you're curious about them, you're going to really love this episode. Among other things, we're going to find out about dolphinalities and how dolphins saved one man's life. And then after that, we got another short for you. We're going to hear about the richest shipwreck discovery ever. It's a proper Indiana Jones meets Pirates of the Caribbean tale. It's got all my swashbuckling dreams come true in it. And I think you're really going to love that tale as well. So if these episodes do whet your appetite for more, check out that full series by searching up Florida Keys Traveler on your favorite podcast player, or just click the link in the show notes. And while you're at it, why not follow me on social at Armchair Explorer Podcast? I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Tell me what you think of this episode. Tell me where you're dreaming of going next, what your favorite ocean adventures, and drop me a message if you have any questions about planning your next big trip. I love talking about travel and adventure, you might have guessed, so we're going to get on well. Thank you also to the folks at Florida Keys and Key West Travel for helping to bring this series to life. We work with destinations to help with the production costs for our on-location episodes. They're not cheap, but we choose the stories ourselves, and I think you're really going to love these two. So with that in mind, let's get going with the show. First off, we're off to the Dolphin Research Center on Grassy Key. Our presenter, Elizabeth Harriman Lastly, and producer, Jason Patton, are with one of the co-founders of the center, Mandy Rodriguez. They're standing on a wooden platform by the side of a lagoon where two dolphins are swimming. Their names are Pax and Talon.
There are two brothers. They are a direct descendant of Flipper.
I mean, I have never seen a dolphin just come up and want to be with you, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? We are in their space. Because a lot of, I think in the old days maybe, dolphin shows were performances and it was for the two-legged people. But here, we're in their home, right?
You hit right smack on the nail why Dolphin Research Center is Dolphin Research Center. What we do here is exactly what you said, is these dolphins that live here with us are part of our lives. They're our family, they're our partners. We set out to have dolphins being looked at as not a circus star, but a really deep thinking feeling. You know what? Dolphins don't kill other dolphins because they're a different color or a different religion. Guess who does?
So much smarter than us.
So we ought to take a lot from their world and how they live their world in harmony with each other.
You actually say on the website that the dolphins participate with the humans only if they choose to.
Correct.
What do you mean by that? How?
Well, first of all, let's take food. Food is given to them regardless of what they do. Their performance or their showing up does not mean anything. You're going to get your food regardless. Now, when we say they choose to interact, is we have a series of symbols. Every dolphin has their own different shape. Pretty much like when we go to a dinner party, you go around and you look at your plate. Oh, there's my name. And I bet you always look to your side, who's sitting next to me. Sometimes you go, oh, I don't want to do this. Sometimes it's wonderful. The same thing with them. They see a symbol. We put it in the water and they come around and see, oh, I belong here. Oh, I may not want to sit next to that, you know what. But again, the food is always going to be there. There's no food deprivation to make him do anything. In fact, you can't make a dolphin do what they don't want. 600 pounds of 9 feet of muscle, you can't. So Teresa was the grand dame.
Look, he just did it. One of them just did a backflip.
They're going to show off it. What do you mean? It's not about them. A lot of people think that all dolphins can jump. Guess what? No, not all dolphins can jump. Some are big jumpers, some are not. Some are thinkers, some are not. Some like to pay attention to our silly human things. Some, not really. So there are different dolphinalities. We have our own, they have their own. And they're as different as you and I.
And you learn all about that here at the Dolphin Research Center. And you may hear some announcements in the background because it's actually open to the public. You can see some guests, I guess you would call them, because they are the guests of the dolphins, right? And they're not going to come into the water unless the dolphin wants them in there. Is that right? Well, actually, tell us about some of the dolphin encounters that you offer to the public.
Sure. First, let me tell you that dolphins think that we capture all the humans on a daily basis for their entertainment. So it's not the other way around.
Gotcha.
Now, our job is to introduce the public to these wonderful animals and let them see and let them make their own choice. Not what somebody's telling them, not what somebody's spouting that they know this and that. Let them make their own choice about A, what we do, and B, about these animals. We as humans need to respect them. We need to protect them. They're a window into our lives.
Hi there, guys. They're coming up to see us. Okay, now which one is this?
This is Tal.
That's Talon.
You can see these guys are fairly big.
Yeah.
This family is tall. Here's another dolphinality difference. There's some short dolphins. There's some tall dolphins, just like us. Now, the Talon or the Tursi flipper lineage are very tall, and they're aerialist. They love going up in the air. I would love, before I die, to be able to do one dive up in the air like dolphins. I don't think so, but I'll try. As a matter of fact, we're going to ask Pax to come on over. Hey, Paxi, come on over, buddy. Hi, big guy.
Hi, Pax.
Do you want to come meet him? What do you say, huh? Are you sure? Are you sure about this? You want to come a little closer?
Yes, hi.
If you offer your palm up like that, doesn't he feel wonderful?
I touched a dolphin. Pax, it is so nice to meet you.
Hey, Pax, can you use that blowhole? There you go.
Thank you for letting me into your world.
And look at those beautiful eyes.
You are so
beautiful. And see the little dimple behind the eye?
I do.
That's her ear.
Hi.
And can you turn?
Hi.
Can you turn over? There's a belly button. We all have a belly button. And their genital area.
He's on his back. He's floating on his back.
She just said, she blew that whistle and said, perfect. You want to go? No, you can go to him.
Oh, Jason, I think I'm in love. He's
now,
so adorable.
What I'd like to do is next time ask him over and ask him to come up. Now, dolphins are like icebergs in a way. You only see one third of them. But when you see the whole thing out of the water, you realize how big and beautiful and powerful they are. Can you pay attention for a minute? You ready? Come on up. Now, look at this beautiful, beautiful boy.
Hi there. You are so beautiful. He's holding his tail up. Hi there.
Say yes.
Bye.
Good.
And he went back down. Oh, gosh. And then he goes over to the other place.
Now,
you
can appreciate their size and their strength.
Yeah. And he's talking all the time. Can you understand what he's saying?
I wish I could.
I know.
You can kind of, the inflection, you can tell. But this is hopefully one day before I pass away, I'll be able to know at least some of it. Because we've always been telling them what to do. It's time for them to tell us things.
Oh, I think we could learn so much from them.
You're absolutely correct.
It's wild. It seems like they understand you perfectly. Does that make them a little smarter than us in a way?
You said that, and you're partly correct. Most of our communication comes from our body. So they read us really, really well. And maybe a little bit of an inflection, a little bit, a couple of words, because they do understand the spoken language. We proved that.
I've never seen one up this close before, and the blowhole is just something that I never really thought about. What is the advantage to having it on their head like that?
Well, if you're breathing in the ocean, it would be good not to have to pick up your entire head to breathe. And that blowhole is so specialized. Matter of fact, we'll call them over and have them make different sounds.
Can you say him over?
And this is, again, this is what we say. They don't have to pay attention all the time.
Is it Pax that's floating there?
Yeah, he said, this is what I want to do now. And that's fine.
And maybe he's showing off for us, you know?
But Talon is coming over, the brother, the older brother. Hey! All right, big guy, can you come up here?
It's nice to
meet
you too.
Can you do this sound? Okay. All right. Good. Can you do this sound? Good. Wait, can you do this one? Are you sure? That's great. Thank you. Can you go back to the lip? So, it's a lip that they manipulate, just like our balloon when we were kids.
So, if they can have such control over their vocalizations, have you ever met a dolphin with an accent?
That's a curious question. I don't know.
Maybe when you learn the language more, you'll
maybe
find out.
I'll know a little bit of a dialect. But again, you heard those sounds, and those sounds, when they echolocate, they're little tiny canals, to the lack of a better name, where all that information goes to the inner ear and the brain. What information? We don't know. Our sonar and submarines have imitated their sonar, but we still don't know. And between every click, there's so much information that we have no idea what they're saying.
You're
back.
Is that Pax?
Paxy.
Hi, Pax. Don't tell Talon, but you're my favorite.
No, you're not. Okay? But you are going to tell him, right? Yeah, I'm sure you are. You go back.
What have the dolphins taught you?
What have the dolphins taught me? Tolerance. Dolphins saved my life, basically. When I was in my 20s, I'm still a Marine. We're never ex-Marines. Hoorah, yes. I came back from Vietnam when I was just 20, with my head screwed on backwards. And dolphins totally changed my outlook on this world. I would have been a statistic had it not been for them. They say, well, dolphins are magic. No, they're not. All animals are magic. We humans just don't pay attention. They're talking to us all the time, but we don't pay attention. And so if you pay a little bit of attention, you'll see animals talking to you.
This episode of Armchair Explorer is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. And Pathfinder, that's a pretty cool name, isn't it? Because that's also what this show is all about. Exploring, getting off trail, having adventures, finding your own path, and living life to the fullest. Sound like you? Yep, sounds like me too. Which is why I'm so excited to partner with Nissan. The 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has 7 drive modes, available intelligent 4x4. It's got the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds. So go ahead and bring all that gear with you and lots more. The 2024 Nissan Pathfinder, a vehicle built for adventures everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
Well, dolphins, just as we say, my rubber band was wound tight they unwound it slowly. And so, in seeing that and seeing what they did for me, we turned around to Wounded Warrior. We've been doing it ever since.
I think it's wonderful. So you still offer that program to veterans?
Correct, yes. Just a couple of 3 days ago, we had 20 folks. There are 10 couples. One of the couples was afflicted with post-traumatic stress, and they were kind of growing apart. They come and spend 3 days here, and the dolphins and the sunshine and the ocean water and this whole atmosphere the Dolphin Research Center has starts the healing, starts to center you. And it's obviously very special to me and very close to my heart. But you see a difference. Can you palpate it? Maybe not. Can you point to it and say that's it? Maybe not. I can't point to mine other than that these animals basically healed me. And that's a lot to say.
As we talk at the edge of the lagoon, Pax decides to show off.
Salt, and we got wet.
The power in that is amazing.
But again, it's not a circus act. He's doing it because he wants to.
He needs exercise.
Yeah, and he enjoys it.
Do they ever splash humans for fun?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is their playground. This is their house.
This is their house. They have more going on in that gray melon, beautiful melon of theirs, than humans, a lot of humans, know. And this is what we need to bring the word, is we need to respect these animals, revere these animals. They're amazing, and we should actually take a lesson from them.
Oh, I think just coming here, you take a lesson from them, just being here.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. You've been such a nice companion. Bye, Pax.
He's waving goodbye.
Okay.
Fascinating, right? I love that. I love the idea of dolphins working with veterans with PTSD to help with that healing process. I've heard of equine therapy before with horses, but not dolphins. And I think that is really unique and it makes total sense. They're amazing animals. They're so smart. They're so playful. We got a lot to learn from dolphins. If you're a fan of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yep, they are the true rulers of the Earth. So long and thanks for all the fish. And how cool would it be, by the way, to decode what dolphins are saying? Apparently, we're not as far away from that as you might think. Some very smart people with very big computers are getting close to figuring it out, maybe even in the next 5 to 10 years. And if you could ask a dolphin one question, what would you ask them? Drop me a line on social media and let me know at Armchair Explorer Podcast. I'm going to have a good think about that too and put my answer out. I'm not sure. So many cool questions you could ask. But anyway, we got our next episode coming up and it's all about treasure hunting. This is a really, really cool story. So let me set the scene. Way back in the 1600s, the Spanish actually controlled much of the Florida Keys region, and many of the galleons laden with silver would pass by. Unfortunately for them, there's a big reef just about 6 miles south of Key West that was incredibly hazardous to pass by, and dozens of ships, sometimes entire fleets, were wrecked here when storms blew them off course and into the reef. Most of those shipwrecks have never been found, but their legends have drawn treasure hunters to the Keys for decades.
When I was 9, he let me finally go diving. And my first dive, I found a piece of 8 silver coin. And I've been hooked ever since.
Kim Fisher is the son of legendary treasure hunter Mel Fisher.
We were working the 1715 fleet. That wreck was 250 years. It had been underwater, and I was the first person to see it. It was just an amazing thrill. Makes you want to find more.
Then, in 1985, Mel Fisher discovered what the Guinness Book of World Records says is the most valuable shipwreck treasure ever recovered, worth $400 million.
Well, after several years of working the 1715 fleet, he was reading a book called Potter's Treasure Diver's Guide. And he saw the Atocha mentioned in there, and it had four stars next to it, which meant it had a lot of treasure on board. So he decided to go looking for it.
Nuestra Señora de Atocha was a Spanish galleon that sank in 1622.
You know, I figured, well, we'll go down there in the Keys and find it in 6 months, and then we'll be out of there. And never thought it would take almost 17 years.
What kept him going for almost 17 years?
Well, he's an eternal optimist, you know. He just never gave up, no matter what happened. He would always just keep going. You know, he had a lot of negative stuff, the government coming after him, and I lost a brother, and just lots of stuff. But he just kept going, you know. He was just, well, every morning he would tell us today's the day, and we would just go out and try to find it.
So that was his mantra, right? Today's the day.
Absolutely.
So do you remember the day that he actually found the mother lode of the Atocha?
It was an incredible thrill. Let me go back to the day before. I was 12 when we started looking for it, and I was 29 then. So I'd been looking for it most of my life. And I was towing a side scan sonar, which uses sound waves to see what's on the bottom of the ocean. And I would mark the targets, and then my brother Kane was following in a dive boat and checking the targets. And he called me on the radio and told me I should probably pull up the side scan and come tie up alongside his boat, because the target I had Mark had barrel hoops sticking up out of the mud. So I went over there and tied up, and I remember I free dove down. This was the 19th, the day before, and they had just finished digging the first hole. There were barrel hoops and silver coins, like maybe 1,500 silver coins and copper ingots. And so we worked that, and then we moved the boat and dug another hole, and we found a little bit less. And, you know, then we moved it again and found a little bit less. And then it started getting dark, you know, and Kane and I talked it over, and we knew we were really close. And the next morning, he moved the boat the other way and dug a hole, and there it was, this huge pile of silver bars, like 80 feet long, just all laying on top of each other, and lobsters living in the cracks between them, and chests of silver coins, and you could see gold. You know, there was some gold jewelry that was visible. It was just amazing.
And what was your dad's reaction?
He, at first he said, well, we found it, you know, and I knew we would. Today's the day, you know, and let's make sure we do the archaeology. So you have to record every layer as you excavate it. Kane just took off the very top layer. We got out there the next day, and we hired a bunch of archaeologists to come out and measure and do all the archaeology and build grids and all that fun stuff.
So did you guys go out and celebrate that night?
Not really. We were too eager to get out there, you know?
Yeah.
But the next day, you know, I took Dad out there, and it was just crazy. We had silver bars, like the first 300 or so from the very top of the pile, were stacked on the deck of the Dauntless. And it started getting kind of top heavy because there was so much weight. So we had to put the silver bars down in the hold.
Because they're heavy, right?
Oh, yeah. They're 80 pounds each.
Whoa.
It was a lot of work, you know. What we did was we borrowed some shopping carts from Winn-Dixie. So you can put like four 80-pound silver bars in a shopping cart before it starts breaking apart. That's a little trivia for you.
I'm making a note of that.
Yeah.
So you guys were suddenly celebrities, and actually your dad went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
It was neat because Johnny had just gotten divorced again. And so everybody, Dad had done like, you know, just nonstop interviews. And everybody always asked, how much was it worth, Mel? So I told him, I said, you know, just tell him it was enough to make a few of your alimony payments. So Johnny asked the question and Dad answered him with that. And Johnny almost fell out of his chair.
Mel Fisher died in 1998, and today Kim Fisher is president of Mel Fisher's Treasures, and he still goes out there.
You know, the real thrill when I find it, it's not like, wow, I found some gold. It can be anything. We find it's history. That's what it is. For me, it's bringing the history to life. We find old pair of pliers, and I find out it's actually a specialized dental tool that looks pretty similar to the ones they use today, you know, for pulling teeth. When you think of a shipwreck, you think of everything that would be there, and then you find something that is beyond your imagination. I found a gold poison cup. It's a gold cup about 4 inches tall and 4 inches wide, and it had dragons carved into the outside and dragons for handles. And in the bottom was a mount for a bezoar stone. And that was a gallstone from a goat or a llama. And if anything with poison was poured in that cup, the bezoar stone would change colors. So you'd know somebody was trying to poison you.
Most of those ships have been explored pretty thoroughly.
So if you're tempted to do a bit of treasure hunting on your own, Corey Malcolm has some advice.
We're also now within the boundaries of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary, and they have laws that protect all the shipwrecks. So if anybody finds anything underwater, don't grab it, don't bring it up, because a couple of things. A, it's illegal, but these things have been underwater for centuries, and they're no longer stable in the air. So if you bring something up from the seafloor that's been sitting there for 300 or 400 years, and you take it home, well, it's gonna rot because it's now exposed to oxygen that it can't handle anymore, and it's gonna just corrode before your eyes. The best thing to do is to simply take note of what you found, take some pictures, or they can go to the Marine Sanctuary and you know, hopefully people can get out and take a look and figure out what in the heck it is that was found.
And you might get a finder's fee.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
Hunting for sunken treasure and finding about $400 million worth of it. I was dreaming about the ocean before this. Now I can't wait to get my mask and fins on. You never know. A couple bars of silver would do me just fine. So, thanks for listening, guys. We're about to wrap everything up. And remember, you can check out the full 30-episode series on Florida Keys Traveler. Lots of really, really cool, interesting people and experiences there. I'll link to it in the show notes. And if you enjoyed the episode, tell a friend about Armchair Explorer. Spreading the word is the best thing you can do to help us keep bringing these shows to you. Florida Keys Traveler was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry. Elizabeth Harriman Lastly wrote and presented the show. Jason Patton did the field recording and co-produced it along with me, Aaron Miller, and Jenny Allison. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you next time.